Welcome to the 315. I'm Joe Lee.
And I'm Kevin Kloss. I got a question for you, Joe.
What's up?
What's happening 5 nights a week at over 24 locations in Syracuse that'll help you keep your mind sharp?
Bourbon tasting?
Close. The answer is trivia. And we're talking with the owner of the Syracuse Trivia Company this week on the 315.
As a public radio listener, we know you have a lot of different interests. And with our slate of podcasts, we try and provide on-demand audio for everyone.
This is Marv Juger with Science on the Radio.
From contentious public divorces to drunk driving arrests to private rants caught on tape, Hollywood figures are no stranger to the heat of the spotlight.
The NBA Draft Combine starts today, and every Syracuse fan is watching this guy.
Whether it's science, sports, or pop culture, we think you'll find something you can enjoy. Check out our selection of on-demand audio over at WAER.org or in Apple Podcasts by searching for WAER.
No fake news here. Today we're just interested in the facts, and those facts come to us in the form of trivia. Believe it or not, there is a robust trivia scene in Syracuse, and Brian Coca, owner of the Syracuse Trivia Company, joins us today to chat about it. Brian, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Kevin?
So, Brian, right off the bat, something I'm genuinely curious about is how one gets started with a trivia company. So what kind of led you to launch this company?
Well, I get that question sometimes. I just wanted to play trivia. And when I lived in Philadelphia, I had played trivia with my friends every week. We'd do Tuesday nights. And when I moved back to Syracuse, there wasn't a good trivia night that I could consistently go to. And so I ended up just starting my own. And it kind of took off from there.
So when you say trivia night, tell us a little bit about it from the perspective of someone who knows absolutely nothing about it. That's me. I know nothing. So exactly what is it? How is it played? And then what's your business model?
All right. Yeah. So I try to explain this as Jeopardy to a lot of people who are unfamiliar. It's basically we ask trivia questions over a sound system, and you answer them by writing them down on an answer sheet. And it's team-based, mm-hmm. So you bring your friends. You could play by yourself, but typically you bring your friends. And we play music in between questions. We give you a little bit of time to talk and have drinks and whatnot. And at the end of the night, there's prizes for the top teams.
Are you confiscating phones?
We voluntarily confiscate phones. We have buckets for our players, and they can put them on the table, and they put their phones in the bucket at the beginning of the round, and they stay there for the round. But when the round's over, they can get them back.
Okay, because I can imagine me under the table on Google.
We do watch for that. We police, yep.
So you're the owner of the company. How big is the company? You have a number of hosts. About how many people are involved?
17. We've got 17 hosts and myself. So I guess that would make it 18 total. It's primarily me and hosts. The rest of the stuff, contract out, like the website and whatnot. But yeah, that's it. We're just hosts and me.
And what are the demographics for players?
All over the board. Some places we actually get people bringing in their families with young kids. I don't know how many answers they're providing, but sometimes they do. And we get all the way up to people in their 80s playing.
And on a typical night, you said you have teams and individuals. About how many teams in a particular location will be competing?
Yeah, that depends on the location. It's usually the size of the venue that dictates that, but we'll have anywhere from like 5 teams to 30 teams.
I like the team names too. I was looking at some of the names. There was the Kickin' Assets and the Raiders of the Lost Arp. I'm assuming that's a 40 or 50 and above group.
Yes. Yep. They're regular winners. Yeah.
Oh, are they really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They play at a number of locations.
And by my count, it's over 24 locations that you have various events at throughout the week. What is it like when you go to one of these establishments and you try to pitch the idea of having your company have a trivia night?
Well, I've actually been pretty lucky, I would say extremely lucky, in that I typically don't have to pitch myself. They come to me. I did in the early days, almost 10 years ago now, I'd have to go to him and say, hey, let's do a trivia night. But I don't remember how that conversation went, really. It's usually I'll get emails more than I can handle. So I'm really lucky in that I just basically have to explain to them how it works, and they say, yeah, let's do it.
And what is the business model? Do the businesses, restaurants, bars pay you to bring it in? Or?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I describe it as like hiring a band,
which
is hired entertainment.
And then you bring people in interested, and they buy food and drink, and it's all a reciprocal process.
That's it. It's a really simple concept.
Now, in terms of the questions that come up on a given night, is that the job of your host to generate those questions? Are you a part of that? How is that all structured?
I am the part of it. I write most of the questions. I do have some people who help me out on a weekly basis, but I at least write and edit them. So if you don't like the questions, I'm definitely the guy to blame on that. But the host, their job is to show up and put on a great show and post about it on our Instagram and our Facebook and then, you know, go on with their lives.
Do you ever get disputes about facts?
And
then how is that resolved?
Oh, all the time. Well, I say that, you know, it's the hosts are really autonomous, and I give them a lot of latitude. They're the ones running the show. They're the boss that night. So it's kind of up to them and how they deal with disputes, but they always have the final word. But I do get emails from people saying, hey, I put this answer and I should have been given credit. I just had one just the other day, and I had to spend a little time being diplomatic about it. It was my fault. I didn't put enough correct answers in there. But, you know, it's up for the host to deal with it.
And do you have to ever go behind yourself, do additional research to see if their complaint is valid?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the internet will show you anything. And, and you got to, you know, you'll find what they found, and then you got to find the other stuff, too. So,
what's the craziest thing that's ever happened at Trivia Night?
Well, that's happened at Trivia Night or that was part of Trivia. I mean, I had a guy one time, he stood up and he just cursed out his teammates because they didn't take his answer, and it got to the point where the manager of the place actually had to come over and escort him out. He was that intense about the thing. I saw this and I thought, my goodness, like, that's, you're taking it too far. I appreciate the passion, but, like, you know,
people are passionate about the trivia.
They really are.
Now walk us through an event. By the time it starts, what's going on? Teams are already decided when they come in, or?
Yeah, typically. Okay. You know, usually it's just groups of friends that will come in. We do occasionally get people, they'll straggle in and they'll say, hey, can I play? And I say, absolutely, you know. And sometimes there are, you know, smaller teams or just a couple that was playing that could use another person. But yeah, once they come in, they sign up with the host, they hang tight until the game starts, and we try to keep it pretty casual. You can play. You can jump in after we get started. You can leave before we finish. But
and so, how long does a typical game last? Are you using timers?
They're 2-hour games, and we don't keep a very rigid schedule. The hosts train with us, and they kind of get a sense of the pacing. But sometimes we're a little early, a couple times we're a little late. But for the most part, it's 2 hours. We just try to keep it at that time.
And I'm assuming there's a point system. How do you determine a winner?
Yeah, every question is worth a certain amount of points, and that changes depending on the round. And then there's a question at the end they can wager on. So you're never really out of it until the very end of the final question. So,
and in terms of prizes, if someone, maybe someone sitting at this table, was thinking of going and participating, what's an example of a prize that a team would get?
Yeah, a typical prize is about $30 gift card for first place. Second place often gets a $15 gift card. Some of our places are even more. We don't demand a certain prize from our venues, so we leave it up to them. And some of them, you know, really try to sweeten the pot. And I believe the most we've ever had was a $75 gift card. And I think one of our venues is currently offering $70 for first place.
So it costs nothing for the players to play. You can just show up and you can play.
Absolutely free.
One of the things I liked when looking at your site was that you guys have donated over $30,000 to the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah,
so you do an annual gift to a charity, or how does your charitable giving work?
So every night for bonus points, people can donate coins to the Boys and Girls Club. And we've got these buckets, and as they fill up, the hosts bring them back to me, and then I flatten out all the bills and I take them to the bank. And as we start to get enough that's, to make a worthwhile check, we do that. So every $2,000 or so that we get, we send another check on to the Boys and Girls Club.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I can imagine you have a crap ton of useless information in your head.
I didn't used to, but it's accumulated. Yeah.
I'm going to test you.
Okay.
I drank a Snapple today.
I'm sweating.
I had a Snapple, and there was a trivia question in the cap.
Yeah, real facts.
Yeah. What is a group of frogs called?
Group of frogs. It's called slimy mess. I don't know. Groups of animals are tough.
Yeah, that's a good one, though. You should use it. It's an army.
An army.
Ooh, an army
sense.
Of frogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
They
I learned something from Snapple.
Like an army. Yeah.
You know, I think it only seems fair, Joe, since you asked the man a question, that maybe he asks us a couple questions. Are you willing to go toe-to-toe?
You don't want to challenge me.
You're right, I don't. But are you willing to do it?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Okay.
But I'm a super bright individual.
I would just like to be very transparent. When I talked to Brian, I said, let's do some trivia. Joe will win.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold up. He didn't get answers, did he?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Did you get answers? Wait a minute. You're doing this too, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's you versus me.
Yeah, but you're not getting, you didn't get answers.
Oh, no. Not according to your knowledge.
Let's go.
As far as we know, this is a fair game.
Let's go for it.
All right, here's the first question. What is the largest terrestrial planet in our solar system?
Okay, do you have to buzz in or something?
Yeah, so you can. There it is.
Okay, that's me. It's Jupiter.
No.
Oh, it's a gas planet.
That's right.
And I am the space nut.
I'm going to go Saturn.
That is also a gas planet. You want to take another guess, Joe?
Yeah, so terrestrial planet, largest. It's got to be Uranus.
Nope, it is Earth.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough
I am the astronomy.
There was a brief moment where I went, I bet you he's punking me and this is Earth.
They get harder.
Yeah.
The questions get harder.
Oh. All right. Okay.
Next question. Barney Stinson has a life-size version of what Star Wars character in his apartment on the TV show How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, God, I don't watch sitcoms.
I don't watch that show.
I'm going to say...
Oh, Kevin buzzed in.
Oh, I'm sorry. He knows nothing about Star Wars.
I'm going to go R2-D2.
No.
I'm going to go Darth Vader.
Stormtrooper.
Over two.
Oh, man.
Wow.
We're going to call us? We got another question in you?
Yeah.
All right. Immediately before the Lincoln Monument graced the back of the penny, what graphic was found on the tail side of a 1 cent piece?
Okay.
I'll give you a clue. They were nicknamed this kind of penny.
I don't know.
Any more clue, Kevin?
I feel like we should know.
We're idiots,
this, right?
We're like idiots.
Oh, man. No.
Okay, it's wheat. Wheat.
That's
the wheat
right.
penny.
Yes. I didn't know about the wheat penny, but I remember.
Yeah, right?
The little wheat symbol.
Everything makes sense afterwards.
Afterwards, yeah. So we've proven that we're dumber than a doorknob.
0 for 3.
Okay.
All right, we got two more. I've got confidence in you guys. Hmm. What famous athlete and entrepreneur has 5 sons named George?
George Foreman. Oh.
Oh, he didn't buzz in, but he got it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, just take it.
George Foreman, he gets the points. Right. 4 points for Joe.
Yes.
That's good.
Wait a minute. It was only one person. Okay, yeah, you said.
Yeah, one person.
Yeah, former athlete and, okay, got
yep,
it.
Yep, George Foreman.
All right.
3 presidents of the United States were born in the same year. One was not. Who is the odd one out? This is multiple choice. A, Jimmy Carter. B, George W. Bush. C, Bill Clinton. D, Donald Trump.
Can you repeat the question?
3 of the following U.S. presidents were born in the same year. One was not. who is the odd one out? A, Jimmy Carter. B, George W. Bush. C, Bill Clinton. D, Donald Trump.
Bzz.
Joe?
Born in the same year?
Three of them are born in the same year.
So they're the same age?
Yeah. Well,
So it's Bill Clinton is the one that is not.
No, it is not.
I'm going to go Donald Trump.
It is not. It is Jimmy Carter. He's 93.
Oh, wait a minute. You know what? You said, I'm thinking Papa Bush. Oh, man. This is tough.
This is tough. Trivia is tough. But when you play at our venues, you've got your whole team. You get a little more time. The pressure's not on. And if you get it wrong, no one knows.
So you have, let's say you have five teams playing.
Yep.
So that team has to be the first one to buzz in.
No. When we play, it's all written. So you've got as much time as everyone else, and you just hand it in.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So you hand it in. Okay.
Yep. So there's no time constraint. Well, there's a time constraint on two questions, but the others, you have time to think about them.
And would you say, like, those five questions where collectively we went 1 for 10, would you say that's like a fair representation of what someone would see at one of your events?
I would say those were some of the more challenging ones. I was told a very high bar of questions to bring here, and so I brought my A game.
You came to embarrass us. That was the goal, was to come in here and embarrass us.
Well, it doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. Well, that was fun. It's been fun talking with you. If people want to learn more about the company, the events, how do they find out more?
Our website is SyracuseTriviaNight.com, and if that's too long of a URL, just Google Syracuse Trivia and we'll pop up. We've got an orange and green logo. On Instagram, you can find us at Syracuse Trivia, and on Facebook, we're Syracuse Trivia Company.
All right, Brian, thanks so much for coming in, schooling us on the trivia, and let us know a little bit more about what your company's doing. Really appreciate your time. And now, as a special feature this summer on the 315, we're going to hear from Lacey and Cindy, the co-owners of Lacey's Tapas Bar in the Holly Green District. They're going to walk us through what makes their neighborhood special on this edition of My Hood.
Just standing in front of Lacey's, describe for the folks that are listening to the podcast what you see.
It's amazing. It's absolutely beautiful. It's amazing. There's flowers at every corner. Syracuse Soap Works is down here. They've made this their home where they manufacture their soaps, as well as a beautiful retail store. Thanos moved down here from North Salina Street. Just an incredible little market with outstanding lunch specials. And, of course, Heronoia, the building is yellow and bright and beautiful.
Why was it intentional that you guys wanted to really stake this spot out?
Well, I'll start on that because, for me, the building was absolutely gorgeous, and it still is. It was built in 1865, and there's a lot of character, and there's a whole lot of stories that come behind the building. So I loved the building, and that was one of the reasons I liked the area.
Talk about why you are putting so much of your heart, soul, and personal resources into this neighborhood.
I love the neighborhood, first of all, and I think that's why I am. But secondarily, Laura and I have always been community-focused, and I've always been woman-focused. I think that both of us believe in the power of women, together and independently, and we wanted that focus to be on that. We wanted to give those women that we believe in the opportunities that they wanted.
Are you hopeful that maybe the work you're doing here in the Holly Green District will trickle down into other neighborhoods?
Boy, that would be awesome if it could, and it should. I mean, I think that just in this neighborhood alone, we've seen other local investors want to be here. There was a group of houses down here in the late 300 block that went up through the land bank. The land bank had called Cindy and said these houses are available, and ironically another person wanted them as well, and she was willing to pay more money, and Cindy said to the lady at the land bank, then she should pay more money, and we'll be here to help her if she needs anything. That's just how we operate.
And that's going to do it for another edition of The 315. You can connect with us on Facebook at The 315CNY and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.
And if you do subscribe through Apple Podcasts, you can get us in front of more Central New York residents by simply taking the time to rate and review the podcast. I'm Kevin Kloss.
And I'm Joe Lee. Until next time.